Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt Moderno. I've got Ryan Hammer joining me today. Ryan, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate you. You've been a great follow always, but especially this draft cycle. It's just, it's been great content, one banger tweet after another. So thanks for coming on.
Of course. I appreciate you having me on. I've been following your stuff as always. DMV stuff always hits. I'm a Maryland basketball fan, so, you know, I'm tapped in.
I love it. Happy to have another terp on here. There's not enough of us around out in the basketball space here, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
Before we get going, brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, Hard Lemonades, Hard Half and Halves. They're all delicious. And BetOnline, it's your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and match reports for baseball, boxing, UFC, golf. Obviously, NBA playoffs is a big one. It's the fastest and easiest way to place all your wagers, including live betting, your favorite casino and card games. Head to the website and use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Ryan. So the Wizards are picking second. Kind of the common names are Alex Saar, Nikola Topic, Zachary Risacher, Modest Bozelis, Donovan Clingan. Get a little bit of Steph Castle love from Wizards Twitter right now, especially. And then Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham, Ron Holland, kind of rounding out the, you know, top seven or eight there. If you were the Wizards, who would you be prioritizing at number two?
Well, I'd have to see how they all do in the infamous Wizards fitness test in their workouts. Of course, I'd have to do one. That.
I wonder if that's gone now, though. I mean, that, you know, those folks have moved on. Hopefully, we haven't retired this famous fitness test.
I love the story. I forget who the first one was that passed. I know Dexon Daniels passed it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's not many, though.
Yeah, it's like five or six total in like a decade, which is actually pretty crazy. And like, yep. I guess they don't really put much stock into it because they never draft the guys that pass, but whatever.
Those guys are always gone by the time we get to pick, I think, unfortunately.
That's a fair point. It's tough. So I think you would agree, and most Wizards fans would agree, that you have to go best player available no matter the positional fit, whatever it is. Like, I think you guys have a decent amount of forwards and wings like Denny and Bilal and stuff at this point. So a guy like Holland or Bozelis might not be the ideal fit. But I think those might be the best guys available, especially Ron Holland, like what he can do on the defensive end of the floor and the intensity he plays with. He already has said he wants to be a future defensive player of the year, which if anyone in this class is going to be, he's one of the three or four guys that could get there. In a vacuum, I'd probably go him to start at least, but it's hard to deny the need for like a true playmaker. And if you can get one that you think is going to be here and for 5 or 6 years and be your guy, whether it's Topic or Isaiah Collier, two guys I really like, even Rob Dillingham, who definitely has like legit star upside to be like a Darius Garland type player. I think one of those three guys definitely intrigued me a lot also.
So this is probably like a completely unfounded fear, but every year I get sort of irrationally excited about at least one of the Ignite guys. And I would say almost to a man, they've kind of like not fully lived up to the hype as NBA players. Like maybe Kuminga is the one getting the closest at this point. But none of them have like really blown up necessarily. So I have like a little bit of PTSD about an Ignite guy. Do you think there's anything to that though, of like this program maybe hasn't been actually the best incubator for some of these guys' pro success?
Yeah, definitely some to it. And like, I think the lack of success, that was obviously a part of a factor to why they're shutting the program down. If Jalen Green was an all-star right now and Dyson Daniels was starting for the Pelicans and Kuminga, whatever, and if they were all cooking, like I'm sure there'd be more investment and more resource put into it and they'd want to do more with it. I still think that the G League guys, like going into playing at Ignite is a good thing because you develop physically for sure, and mentally you develop so much better for the NBA game than guys do it. Most of the guys at the college level, because they're playing an NBA game against NBA opponents. So especially for guys who are physical, like in long, Bazelis needs to work on his frame. Ron Holland is a physical monster, so I think it's good for him to play like in those settings. There's definitely something to it. There's definitely an inkling to it. I don't think you guys have directly been affected, right? You might have had Isaiah Todd or something like that.
Yeah, Todd is the one, yeah, which hurts me personally because I had a little higher hopes for him. But
yeah, and it kind of is what it is. If you would have drafted Scoot only been 1 year and he's going to be fine. But I guess if you would have drafted someone really high and it didn't work out, you'd be really affected. But I wouldn't fear too much. I understand what you're saying, but I'm still kind of pro Ignite guys for the most part. So
I think maybe that's the move, you know, like it's the last year of them. Let's go out strong and put them high on the board here. Holland was a guy that is one of, I don't watch a ton of high school film before these guys get anywhere, but Holland was the guy I had seen the most just because it felt like those like Texas teams were always on ESPN, you know, his senior year. But there's definitely more there than I think we got to see on the Ignite, and partially because that was just like a weirdly constructed roster. And sometimes they kind of forced him to be a ball handler, playmaker early in the year, especially when he maybe wasn't ready to do that yet. So it might be one of those things where, like, if you can kind of just let him naturally grow into a role, he looks more comfortable. So I don't know. Is there more to Holland that you think we haven't seen yet that would kind of put him higher on your board, I guess?
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of the offensive game in high school and stuff, and there were always kind of deficiencies that you would worry it at the time where it was going to be an issue at Texas and not in the pro level. But there were always kind of slight worries that you knew, like, all right, he's in high school, he's dominating, he's going to be able to do these things just fine. But the jump shot, the shot creation and stuff like that, where that's going to like unleash his ceiling. If he can be not only just a reliable offensive player, because you don't like, if you could draft Jaden McDaniels at pick two, you probably willingly do it, especially in this kind of draft. Yeah. But you want more out of a guy like that, who was the number one recruit out of high school and who you've seen be able to be an offensive star at his respective levels, of course. There's more to be untapped for sure. I think a higher middle outcome is probably like a Jaden McDaniels, which, like I said, like
not bad.
At this point, you watched him in the last couple of games, and you'd be pretty happy with that. So
for sure. That's awesome. You mentioned Isaiah Collier. I think everybody that watches draft stuff has like their guys, you know, like there's always a couple that you kind of just latch onto and maybe are higher on than consensus. So I know he's one of those for you. So can you just kind of fill listeners in on why you like Collier maybe more than folks seem to?
Yeah, it's not even like there are some guys I will admit that I just like watch when I have like that weird thing about him, like, yeah, this guy's gonna be great. Like, I just love, exactly. And I latch on and you go with certain guys at some point, but
sure,
I just don't understand why people aren't as high on, maybe not as high on him, but people have him like 15, 16, I think I've seen, and stuff like that. And outside of the top 10, I think that's crazy because he was a guy, like, we see this a lot with like Gigi Jackson and Anthony Edwards. Like, there's a bunch of guys, Darius Garland, he was at Vanderbilt. There's a whole list of guys who play at really high usage on really bad power teams, and they still produce and do well, and the efficiencies aren't perfect, but they're not all that much of a worry. The film looks good. Like, Collier's a monster. He's physically ready to compete in the league. He's big. He's a great passer. He obviously has to work on some turnover things, but I attest most of that to the high usage and just his development of decision-making that obviously is just like anyone else, taking strides. He's a good scorer. He's a really good finisher. He's aggressive. Like, he plays with a really good mentality when you hear him speak. He's all about like leadership and leading by example and stuff like that. He's the guy that's talking and communicating on the court the most. There's every inch of this game I like, obviously, in the three ball and the jump shot and the three off the bounce is going to be a huge thing that unleashes his ceiling also, kind of like Ron Holland, but of course in different settings. Because I think there are guys like, and I think defensively he's fully there. He just needs to focus and lock in. Some people see him as like a negative defender. As long as he's just like, they literally get him to focus and buy into his system, they're going to be fine because he's super quick. He's strong. He lives up to the moment when he plays in one-on-one matchups, which I really like to see. There's just a lot to like that I think you could get a legit star out of him. And I see the other guards like Reed and Rob, and there are other things to like in their games that are better than they are in Isaiah's. But I just like more of it. I like my chances more with Isaiah being really good. So.
Yeah, I think the defense, especially, you nailed it there, right? It's not a tools thing. When he was getting beat by guys, it wasn't because he didn't have the physical ability to do it. Whereas I do kind of wonder about that with Rob Dillingham. Like, is there a world where we ever see him be like a plus defender? You know, he's just kind of skinny. He's not like a crazy, crazy athlete. So I think the chances of Collier being a better two-way player are higher maybe than somebody like Dillingham. But also, freshman point guard is kind of maybe least equipped to survive a team that's just sort of a mess across the board. And, you know, they were maybe one of the more disappointing teams in college basketball. And, you know, maybe giving the keys partially to a freshman point guard isn't partly to do with that. But also, it just looked like the pieces never fit. And he may have kind of suffered from that a little bit, too, I think.
Yeah, and it kind of is what it is. And I think it's just one of those guys I would take my chances on. And maybe Gigi Jackson was a little riskier last year. I had him like close to top 10 or something like that. But like I said, the talent's there, and you have to watch film for guys like that, because it's not fair when, like you're saying, the 18-year-old is on 31% usage and touching the ball basically every single possession, it feels like. So
this is also, I feel like, the Golden State Warriors model of like, let's just bet on the guys that were five-star high school recruits too, and that the player that, you know, that they were to get them the five stars is kind of the guy that's more there than a mixed bag of college tape. And he also, by the way, he had really good stretches too. Like, I'm talking like, oh, he just totally disappointed all year, but he had like a month-long tear, I want to say, in like late February, you know, toward the end of the season, where he looked exactly like that guy. And I think I'm more willing to bet on like the high end of a shorter sample size when someone's that young.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Another guy you like, I think somebody I've also been pretty high on throughout the cycle here, TJ Saluam, another French player, probably 6'10". For anybody not familiar with his game, I think as Wizards fans, we've been talking more about Zachary Risacher, but Saluam is like starting to get a little bit more buzz and hype going here too, locally. So I'll give you the floor here. Why is this guy higher up your board than most?
I don't think he's going to go. He'll get considered. I'm not going to say it. Never. You never know. I'm not going to say he won't get considered that too, because he might. You never know.
They should at least work him out, I would think.
Exactly. Even like they consider some trade back to 5, 6, whatever. I don't see a huge gap, if at all, between him and Risacher. I think they have very similar strengths and weaknesses. I think Salon's a better athlete. He's a much better cutter and off-ball player, where you can see that maybe a higher floor and maybe a slightly lower ceiling, because the shot creation on ball is nowhere near as smooth as what Risacher has. And I think that's a big part of people are like, oh, he could have like a French – people like people say all the time on Twitter, like French KD, whatever, like random things when they see tape. But you get what I'm saying, like whether it's Brandon Ingram or Tatum, KD, whatever it is, those nice scoring forwards. He has that kind of creation in his bag. He's long, he's thin, he's a little lengthier, I think. But Salon, if he measures well, apparently he's like 6'9", 6'10", with like a 7-foot wingspan, 7'1", which with his movement and athleticism, and he's already strong, he's built up pretty well. His shot looks much better. He's had a flamethrower in the last few games. And the biggest thing I think why he's rising up is the same thing we saw with Koulibaly last year. Like when Mets 92 was in the playoffs and he was finally having like bigger impact games that you didn't see in the earlier part of the year, and other guys are playing the combine and private workouts that don't mean as much. Teams are going to be like, holy crap. Like, yeah, this guy's the real deal. And I think it's legit. I was kind of weary on him. He's been in my top like 15 to 20 for most of the year. Just because like you've kind of seen the flashes, but the last couple of games have really opened my eyes. I've just been doing a lot of him versus Risacher study, which is probably not enough because Risacher is playing also and playing well. And I need to get into, like, I have Tyler Smith up there. Like, do we scratch the surface with Reed and Klingon and Castle and all those guys? Like, at what point do you say, like, we're just going to go for maybe the biggest upside swing in the drafts?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, like I said, there's always that guy. I think he could very easily be that guy. Like I said, it's the last guy playing often goes up, but he's also someone that gets in there late for workouts too. I think he's another dude that's going to impress. The first thing that got me was the FIBA, I want to say under 19 team, maybe under 18 team, I forget, over the summer that he played on. The dude was just like everywhere in passing screens and shooting the gap on stuff. And he showed like sneaky burst for a dude that big. And, you know, you think if he can actually kind of move the way he does, it's a little bit of like a set shot, kind of weird, but, you know, he makes them. So that's really all that matters. And when you're that big, there's not a ton of guys you know, going to like block your jump shots or anything like that. So yeah. I don't know that it necessarily matters. But yeah, he's an interesting one for folks not familiar. This is a guy that grew up in a basketball playing family. His sister is a professional player in France. And she's talked about how like, you know, she inspired and encouraged him to be like more, you know, vocal and demonstrative and things like that. And you see that from him this year. Like he's mean mugging dudes after dunks and stuff like that. And I don't know. That's just something I think the Wizards especially could use a little more of is the sort of that fiery edge. So he would be a guy, like I said, it definitely would work out. I think you nailed it with, you know, if they did a trade back or there is another lottery pick or that kind of thing. This Wizards front office is a lot of former OKC guys. He seems like he would be an OKC kind of guy. So
People have kind of compared it to Usman Jang a little bit, which is not, I don't think it's really fair, but
like the same size and that's about it.
Yeah. They're both French and like right. Interesting upside prospects. But like you said, like the eye test is changes for every person and it's tough to fully gauge on like tape. And yeah, I'd love to see him in person. Also, if I had the opportunity to go watch Cholet, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. But they like, he looks like an absolute monster. Out there, he looks much bigger than everybody, stronger. The burst, like you said, but at his size is crazy. Like the vertical leap, also, and it's exciting. So we'll see. Maybe he ends up going 2, 3, 4 because you never know with the draft process.
Yeah, especially in a year like this, it seems more likely that someone like him will kind of surprise us all day of. I've had like this sort of team building theory around the draft of just like, I would always default to the wing if I could, you know, in like a 50-50 situation, because they're harder to get in free agency. I'm starting to feel that way about like versatile fours, because I think he's really more of like a real forward than a wing, but he can guard wings in certain situations. He can be a little more perimeter oriented, but he could also guard bigger guys too. And I think that sort of guy that can do a little bit of both has become even more important in the NBA when you've seen kind of these scaled down fours who can all pass triple shoot. Like obviously you got Kyle Kuzma here in Washington, but like that archetype player, I think is something that teams seem to be, you know, trying to find every year in this draft. And he might be kind of the best of those mold guys that I can think of. It's probably him or Brusellas of like the scalable fours. So if you had to pick between he or Brusellas, who would you have higher up of the two?
I'd probably go Brusellas strictly for the upside and the long-term play, although maybe that sounds stupid now that I'm thinking about it. I just think Brusellas, like, I tend to lean on guys who are the forward size, they're lengthy, but they have legit guard skills. Like, I'm sure Solana has shown a little bit and flashes of decision-making, but the on-ball stuff I've seen from Brusellas has been, at times, very awful, and he's turned the ball over and, like, it's become an issue, but it's because he's confident and he's playing Ignite where they let him just go.
Right.
And I buy into the skills enough to just be like, hey, let's work on his development, his decision-making, and we'll get him there. So
makes sense. Another tweet of yours that I thought was really interesting. I'm going to just kind of tease them out a little bit here. You had biggest winners and risers from the combine this week. I said AJ Johnson, he played over in Australia's NBL this year. Keyshawn Johnson out of Arizona. Nikola Jurišić, I cannot remember the team's name off the top of my head here. Enrique Freeman from Akron, Baylor Shireman from Creighton, Devin Carter from Providence. I had never heard of Enrique Freeman, and I watch a sick amount of college basketball before Portsmouth. And he was really exciting. Like the Wizards have Eugene Amarui, a guy that went undrafted, but he's productive just because he like plays hard and is kind of everywhere. And you're surprised by the box score at the end because you're like, this guy shouldn't be really that good at 6'7". But that's kind of what Enrique Freeman reminds me of just like that more productive than you think he would be from just sort of his overall skill set. But any of those names you want to specifically talk about, I think some Wizards fans are really getting in on AJ Johnson too. So a little talk about him would be interesting.
Yeah, AJ definitely is one for you guys at 26, right?
Yeah, 26. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and especially depending on how you go, obviously, with your second pick, the team's first pick will kind of depend on maybe a positional thing. You don't want to draft two upside guards together. Like, there's some of it there. But AJ is, I think that's where he starts to consider probably once you get past 20, as of right now, at least. And he is raw, he's young, he's unproven. So this combine week meant so much more for him than it did for everybody else. And I think teams needed to see exactly what they saw out of him, like 6'5", 6'6", 6'8", wingspan. So that's a small forward in the NBA realistically. But he obviously needs more in his frame, but he's so skilled. He's a true guard. He can score. He can create, score on all levels. There's a lot to like in his game. I wish he didn't go to the NBL because they obviously, those teams are trying to win a championship. They're not trying to develop guys. And even through the NBL Next Stars program, like it's a little tough for some raw guys like him. So I think he's actually a guy that college would have benefited him, but maybe this is all meant to be. He rises up now and falls into the right spot and what's meant to be will be. It's hard not to like his game. There's not a ton to go off of, but from what there is, he's just someone that you're willing to take a risk on. Like the upside picks, as the Wizards fans know, will either get you fired or get you hired, and he's one that I would willingly take.
Especially at 26, right? The risk reward is a lot greater because he has the reward of a guy that's much higher in the draft. And at 26, you can kind of, you know, wave away like, well, it didn't work out. It was worth the swing. I was talking to some guys in our, you know, our local group chat here, and they were bringing up AJ after the combine. And I said, look, I'm just putting it out there. Like, he was actively bad a lot this year during that season. So just giving you the full context, because he was somebody I wrote off early because I was like, this dude is like years away from being years away. And I still kind of feel that where like he's maybe the dude that is on his second contract by the time, you know, he's like really contributing on an NBA court, just as the frame and the skill level kind of all catch up to, you know, like the tools. But still, again, worth it at 26, especially, you know, if you're a team like the Wizards who needs all the like high end talent swings you can get.
Yeah, I think you hope that you kind of get a bargain on that second contract is what it is. But like year one, year two, he either is in the G League or two-way or minimal in the, off the bench and some of that in the league. And then when it's time to extend him, I guess going after year three or something like that, whatever his contract is, or after year two, you extend him for a really cheap option as long as he's been okay or good enough. And then all of a sudden, that's when he starts to really bloom at age 20, 21, 22. And then you're starting to reap the benefits, kind of like teams with like the Knicks and Deuce McBride, completely different player, but like they are reaping the benefits now because they got him on a cheap deal because it took him a little bit of time. That's all. So,
yeah, that's a great way to look at it too. So Nikola Jurcic is probably the player from this list I've seen the least of. So he's somebody whose name is like kind of catching on here locally. What's Jurcic all about and why did you think he was kind of a riser from this week?
Yeah. So Mega Basket, by the way, is the team.
That's right.
It's where like Jovic also has come from and he plays with Topic. He's been through the draft, right? He's older. So a lot of the international guys usually aren't old. I think he's going to be 22 something on draft night. Yep. He's older. He's been through the draft process before, which I think has helped him clearly. Like he got the feedback he needed. He saw what he struggled on the American NBA pro level. And when he went back and tried to fix and improve those things, like his shot has definitely improved a lot this year. And you saw that at the combine a little bit, but he's big. He's like 6'8". Doesn't have a super long wingspan, but like a 6'8", 6'9" wing. He's got good size. He's crafty. He's got that Euro craft in his game, which I always like to see. But he's good. He's improved a lot, and he's just a good decision maker and a good processor of the game. There are some aspects that are just who he is, and I don't have enough comfort just being like, I'm going to bump him up just because it's this draft class, and he's been through all this before because a lot of it has kind of been the same limitations. I forget who it was. Keyshawn George is a guy that people were saying, like, if you like Keyshawn George, then you should like Jurcic. I don't see the same sentiment at all with the age and upside and what and productivity and stuff like that. But he's interesting. 26, some people like him up there. I wouldn't hate it. I think it's maybe worth the swing depending on how what they see out of him because obviously we're not in the building. But sure. From what we can see, I'd probably go other ways depending on who's on the board, but I don't hate it.
I was actually just about to ask about George because he's a guy that also Wizards fans have really kind of gravitated toward in with that 26th pick. So you would definitely go George of the two there, right? If both are on the board.
If he's at 20, yeah, if he's there at 26, I find it hard to find any prospect on the board I would take over him. I like Keyshawn George more than most people. But talk about potentially untapped potential. The guy just finished growing like a few months ago, basically, and he's still kind of getting into that frame and working on his burst and athleticism at that bigger size. But the tools he has shown at fair, to be fair, somewhat minimum levels and but really good efficiencies. The shot is unbelievable in every single way. Like there is a lot to like in his game that you can work with and talk about long term like upside play at 26. I think that would be a steal. So
I want to say there's one particular sequence that stands out to me from him all year, and I think they were playing Wake Forest where. Hit a corner three on one possession. The next one, pump fake, tax baseline, and like swings it to the opposite corner left-handed, like in the air. And I was just like, holy shit, who is this guy? And I had not, he was not remotely on my radar at that point in the season. It was just sort of a random find at some point. And then I was like, oh, freshman, you know, maybe not super athletic, but I think that's a great point that you made of sometimes when these guys grow late, it takes a while for like everything else to kind of come together and them to grow into their bodies. And when you put on some strength, you start to get some of that like quickness you might've had at 6'4", 6'5", back now at 6'8", 6'9". So my guess is he's probably off the board by 26. Does that seem likely to you?
I would think so, but again, the same thing. Like I mentioned Gigi Jackson before and never expected him to go 45 last year. A little bit different, but because of other reasons, but still, like you never know. So
another super popular name here that is probably most likely off the board by 26, but there's also some reporting that the Wizards may try to trade someone like Kyle Kuzma to get back into around the lottery. Carlton Bub Carrington out of Baltimore here, played for Pittsburgh this year, another freshman. Thoughts on Bub? Where do you have him kind of ranked? Do you think he's still even on the board-ish at 26?
I don't think he should be, but there are a ton of people who think he will be slash should be. I like the upside a lot. I think I see a lot of like D'Angelo Russell in the game, and like I also saw that at like Ty Washington, but I also think Ty Washington got screwed by the multiple trades and transition of the NBA, and I still think he could be good, but it kind of is what it is. But I think he's a super skilled offensive player. He's so, one of the youngest prospects in the class. I think he's the youngest college prospect in the class. He's not going to be 19 until the NBA season starts. There's so much to like in his game as a handler. He played a little off ball this year with Hinson and a couple of guys in their backcourt, which I think benefited him a lot because he was able to kind of flip back and forth and play a couple different roles to be a legit true combo guard, which I think is really, really good. But I think he could be a point guard if things go well. I think he's shown enough for the efficiencies and productivity at his age. And with his upside, I think is awesome. He has great size, good length, good intangibles and the IQ. There's a lot to like. DMV, why not, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the thing that takes him off the Wizards board. They've had this weird reluctance to draft anybody local, it seems like. So,
like Maryland.
Yeah, I know. We had our one bounce back guy of Alex Len a couple years later, and that
we don't have to do that.
Right. That's probably a good life choice.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Johnson out of Arizona is a dude that I probably didn't think was gonna get drafted, to be honest, but I've always really kind of enjoyed him. He was fun at San Diego State. Really enjoyed him kind of scaling up a little bit at Arizona this year. Do you think he did enough for himself this year to kind of get himself firmly, you know, in draftable range here, like as a solid second round pick?
Yeah, firmly to be like a guarantee to be picked is probably not. I like him a lot. I think playing in Arizona was big for him to be in an offensive setting to show how he can keep up with high pace and stuff like that and be an offensive connector. He does so many, every ounce of the dirty work he's doing, like diving loose balls, he's blocking shots, he's deflecting passes, he's connecting for passes, he's hitting the dunker spot, he's cutting behind a back door, and he does so many little things that it's so easy to like. He's not terrible on the ball. If he needs to move around, he's never going to be a primary option in the league. Obviously, it's tough for him to get there. But when you're into the 40s and 50s, that's not what you're looking for. And even an undrafted deal, like so much to like in a guy like that. We talked about Enrique Freeman. I think is kind of a similar impact you hope to get out of both those guys. And there's no reason they both shouldn't get drafted. I don't think that you can just throw them into the rotation right away. But if you told me a year from now after their rookie season that, hey, they both played, you know, 15 minutes a game on their respective teams and they got some minutes and burn on a play-in team or something like that, I'd very much believe that because those are guys that are going to be good pros no matter what and likely in the NBA. So
he's another one of those, like the Amarui guys I mentioned, not as in terms of the way they play, but the may go undrafted. And then you look 3-4 years later and they're on a multi-year non-guaranteed deal with a team. Because they hang around with effort and things like that. Another one is Isaac Jones out of Washington State. He gives me those same kind of vibes too. Like every time I watch him, I never think he's that good. And then I look down and it's like, oh, you had 15-7 every single time. So those guys are always kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, and he's got a great story too. And I think he's at Idaho before Wazoo. And he was putting up like a couple of like 20-20 games. I'm like, who is this guy? Exactly. And then I started watching Idaho Vandal basketball and I learned. Yeah. But it's cool to see a guy like that. I think he was PIT, G League Elite Camp Combine. So it's cool to see that those guys thrive.
Yeah, I was trying to tell everybody that. That was the first year I had been to Portsmouth and that was like a really cool event. And to see some of these guys actually, you know, make an impact at the actual combine was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The small guards you had on here, Jamal Shedd, who I'm definitely higher on than most. Mark Sears, who is a bucket. KJ Simpson, probably like a 6-foot shooting guard, but he makes shots a lot, which is awesome. And then Bronny James. Any of those four guys you want to spend a minute or two and talk about?
26 is probably tough. I'm with you on Jamal Shedd, though. Like him and Mark Sears more than the other two for sure. They're way too good at what they do to not be good in the NBA. Mark Sears obviously gets the Jalen Brunson comparison. I think he's a tiny bit shorter or a very similar size, but he's small. He plays off 2 feet. He's smart. Like you said, he's a bucket. Like there are some things that are undescribable and undeniable. Like he's going to be good at them. If he's good scoring on 6'9" guys in college, he's going to be good scoring on 6'9" guys in the NBA. Maybe a little less, maybe a little more difficult, but Jamal Shedd is so fun to watch the combine. I forget who said it. But if you watch like combine scrimmages, and I wish I could watch workouts, team workouts, guys are gonna like intentionally avoid him. Like I am not, give me a switch, give me a screen, get me off this guy right now. And it'd be funny to know if agents are actually gonna legit be like, oh, who's on your list, and then see him, and they're like, absolutely not, we're not going that day.
I rolled an ankle that day. Yeah,
he's a competitor, and he's not gonna be 22 until the season starts. So that's not young, but He's a younger age for most like seniors and older guys. There's so much to like in his game. Houston guys are going to be good in the league in some capacity. So I would take a flyer once, probably pick, honestly, 26 and on is probably where I would start considering him. So,
yeah, I was thinking like I'd feel very sick if you're 35, you know, picking this draft and he's available. Like, you just do it and you never look back.
Exactly. You know, he'll be on the team for 5 years. So
a little bit of the Wizards just added Jared Butler to a multi-year deal. Kind of that sort of vibe to me of just like, hey, he's good. He'll be good here. Like, why not just sort of work it out.
For Jared Butler too. NBA player. I feel bad for him with medical stuff and his heart issues that he's gone through, but I can't believe the ringer he's been thrown through. So it's good that you guys got him.
Yeah, I think he's going to last here for a while and they seem to like him. A couple other names that are probably in the mix-ish at 26. Dayton's Daron Holmes, Virginia's Ryan Dunn, Cal's Jalen Tyson. Maybe he's gone by then, but Colorado's Tristan Da Silva. Johnny Furphy from Kansas was a freshman this year. That one I kind of don't get personally, so maybe you have some insight there. Justin Edwards from Kentucky, maybe somebody in that general range. Any of those kind of guys you would like if they were on the board most at 26 or think are especially kind of good fits for Washington?
Yeah, well, I'll say Furphy, I am mixed feelings on, but mostly positives. I think he might be gone before that because I think teams are going to try to find like a Cam Johnson out of him, a guy who's legit 6'8", 6'9", in shoes, and he has good length. He can shoot. He can move. He's very athletic. There's a lot to like in his game of being a really, really good 3-and-D wing, 3-and-D mm-hmm. forward. So I like it. I get it. I think teams like Cleveland and Orlando before at 19-20, I think it is, and New Orleans can use guys like that with the spacing ability on the size. So we'll see if he's on the board. But I think Daron Holmes makes a lot of sense. I think the group of bigs right there, realistically, between him, Edie, Kelo Ware, and Eve Misi, I think, are all in play. And likely you're going to have at least one of them on the board, hopefully, at 26. And if you don't like the one, you don't go there. They all have such different traits and strengths, which is really intriguing to see what teams are going to prioritize, what traits in their bigs. Like, Daron is probably the best all around. He's a good shot blocker and a really good passer. Edie is a large human being and he's a monster. Eve Misi is the best athlete and he's young, maybe some more upside there. And Kelo Ware has got like that Miles Turner upside with the ability to space and also shot block pretty well too. So I think all of them are good. I like Daron the most because I think he just kind of gives you the flexibility in Washington to, when you're moving forward, to not really pigeonhole yourself, which you won't be doing with most of these guys. Maybe Edie, pigeonhole yourself a little bit into a lower ceiling, but I like Daron. I liked him last year coming in to get to the league. I understand why he didn't get there, but he should be a first round pick this year. So if he's on the board, I like that one.
I was hearing some stuff like a month ago that he was thinking about going back to Dayton again. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? Oh,
I know, it's too good. If teams aren't telling him good, giving him good feedback, like, I'm sure he's like, I just have to make the business decision and be like, it's not meant for me right now. But I'm hoping that he's getting good feedback, because if he's not, then we got something wrong with Gats.
I'm totally with you. That one just seems like a no brainer to me. Another guy that I really like.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I've got the receipts backing this one up for a while here, and he hasn't seemed to rise up the board, but I thought he had a pretty interesting combine and showed a little more defense than maybe he had in his college season. Is UC Santa Barbara's AJ Mitchell, he was getting in dudes, it seemed like to me, and you already know the kind of offensive skill set is there. I think he's he's got the complete offensive package, despite not being like this elite athlete. Where are you on Mitchell, and am I crazy for thinking that, like, rookie scales consensus board has him 51, which is also where the Wizards pick. So I'd take that. But to me, that's like a no brainer, like late first round pick. How do you feel about
that? Yeah, that's crazy. That's actually insane. I think people don't watch Big West basketball and they're always playing against whatever. And like, yeah, he played pretty well at the people just find ways to push guys that don't have a good storyline, to be completely honest. Like, they're for most draft people and like social media and Twitter, like, They do their due diligence and they do their work, of course. And a lot of them, like us, like AJ Mitchell, I'm with you. I got the receipts back to like 2022 of like, yeah, this guy's a pro. He's from Belgium too. He played a lot overseas, which I think has helped him as a bigger guard too, because he has legit size, really honed into that craft. He's not like a great athlete. He's not a bad athlete. Like, he's not super fast, not super slow. He's just all around a really good guard and a really good guy who can be, I think, a combo guard, but can be a lead guard. I could see us talking about him the way we talk about guys like, I don't want to say like Tyrese Maxey, but Emmanuel Quickley and stuff like that. And like maybe some star upside, but I could see him being a starting point guard in 4 or 5 years on a team. People are like, damn, like, because he went to UC Santa Barbara, like, we were sleeping on him and stuff like that. So we'll see, but I'm with you. I like him a lot.
I may be confusing this, but I want to say Gabe Vincent is also he's been a Barbara alum, and it's like that dude has just hung around the league and was super undervalued. And I don't know, we got to start hyping that school up a little bit more. And they're smart enough to go to school in a place like Santa Barbara, which is beautiful. So should get some extra points for that too.
A very good point. Yeah.
And then maybe the one knock on Mitchell is sort of the really low 3-point volume. And if you're going to have him in a more role player-y role, he probably has to be able to space the floor a little bit. But to me, the guy's got elite touch. And you've seen it from floaters and the finishing packages and things like that. It's, there's no world to me where he doesn't end up he's already shooting a good percentage. He doesn't take a lot, but I can't imagine that can't scale up pretty easily.
Yeah. I have never seen anything that's really going to doubt him scaling up volume and shooting the three ball if he has to shoot more because of how the NBA offense is going to run. It's just what he's been comfortable getting into the lane and drawing fouls and stuff in Big West. And so I wouldn't be worried at all, because his mechanics look good. Everything looks fine. So.
For Wizards fans, former teammate of Victor Wembanyama earlier in their careers overseas. And again, another native French speaker as well growing up too. So that'd be cool for Koulibaly to have a buddy. A couple other names here, maybe just in that 51 range. I've been sort of probably higher on Trevin Brazil than consensus. I like PJ Hall from Clemson, especially if he's somewhere there in the mid to late second round. Jonathan Mogwo from San Francisco would be interesting, sort of in that 51 range. Really like Garway Duwall from Providence still. I'm still holding out hope that, the Providence year was just sort of he wasn't ready for primetime yet. But any other names you kind of like as sleepers in that late second round kind of area?
Honestly, like, it's going to depend on who ends up falling. I think there are a lot of the wings in this class. This class is very deep with the 3-and-D wings. You should talk about Justin Edwards. He'll probably be gone by then. Yeah. But if an upside guy like that is still on the board, like, you probably take that run and hopefully he ends up panning out. But I think all those wings, like, I don't think Dursich will be there that late. Dylan Jones probably won't be there that late. McCullough probably won't be there that late. But I just named like four guys. So yeah, one of them could go. Could slide. I like the guys you mentioned. I like Pell Larson, Nick Clifford also, guys who are, again, those 3-and-D wings who you can see impacting an NBA team in basically right away, even at in the 50 range, which is pretty crazy. But if there's some upside picks available, like those guys we mentioned, or even like Juan Nunez, who could be like a draft and stash, then maybe you go for that. But I'm with you on most of those guys.
Yeah, Nunez is an interesting one, especially because the Wizards probably don't want to bring in three rookies this year, I think, on an already kind of young team. So stashing one of them makes kind of sense. Ryan, anyone we haven't talked about yet that just like, hey, this is another plant my flag kind of guy that could be in that late first, you know, mid second round kind of range that you want to talk about real quick?
There are always guys that can go out and talk about a million hours on. I didn't talk about Ryan Dunn a lot. I think Ryan Dunn for a team like Washington or Utah at the end of the first is worth the swing and worth the offensive concerns, because defensively you're getting potentially a Herb Jones level defender. I mean, I'm telling you, you're getting a Herb Jones level defender right away. Just the fact that can he be on the floor all the time with his offensive limitations? And I think you just work, because you guys have the patience to be like, hey, we don't have to shoot the ball at all in year one. We're going to work on it. We're going to get you there by year three or year four or something like that. That might sound bad to some Wizards fans. They might not want to get in on that, but that's the reality of it. And I think that's a guy that you got to be worth it. There are other guys I love in the end of the first, like Harris Ingram, Baylor Shireman. I probably think wouldn't make sense for Washington because you're not getting the most out of them in their first couple of years when their value is probably the highest. And then there's also those guards. Like, I think even though they're older, Tyler Kolek, Trey Alexander, I think could benefit a lot from being on a team where they can still have a really, really big role. So Trey Alexander is one that people don't like. I love his game. I think it's going to translate real smoothly. So,
same. Yeah, I took him with the Wizards 51st pick in a mock draft that I did. And I was like, dude, this is a steal. You got to do it at that point.
It's crazy.
Last one I want to ask you about. There's all kinds of other stuff, and the medical red flags are probably a big reason for this and the age, but Tyon Grant Foster from Grand Canyon is just like really good at basketball, and he's on basically no draft boards. Am I crazy for thinking, especially at somewhere like 51, you just kind of roll the dice on a guy like that?
Yeah, I think why not? And or if you know he's gonna be undrafted, you kind of just bank on that because less risk, obviously. I'm with you though. Like, the guy is way too good. He's way too good of an athlete, barring the medical situations, of course, and he's very, very old. But again, it doesn't really matter at some point because you're just trying to get guys who can play and who can hoop. And I think he's definitely one of those guys. And it was fun to watch him at Grand Canyon, not just in the tournament, but all season long. Yeah. Like, he was doing this. And he's obviously he's a five-star, but five-star level talent playing at Kansas at one point in the biggest of stages in college basketball. So it's cool to see him back in this position and at hopefully full health. If those things are fine, like, I see no reason to not consider him once you get into the mid early second round, and someone could pull the trigger on him because they're like, you know what? We've seen guys with the medicals, like Cam Whitmore was a different situation because like he was obviously supposed to go top 5-6. And he fell off, but guys end up panning out very nicely if their medicals are actually okay. So,
and you've got someone like Jared Butler here in Washington already that has similar heart stuff. So maybe you feel equipped or well-researched, you know, enough to make
good medical decision.
Yeah. Hey, he would help, right? We got to have a cardiologist on standby here.
That's a fair point. You might as well add Bronny also while you're at it then.
Yeah, right. Vincent Ukachukwu was he Rutgers now? So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, something, yeah.
Ryan, this was awesome. Thank you. Anytime I get to just kind of nerd out on some of these guys, I'm always excited. And I know you've been putting in the work to really evaluate these guys. Love the coverage. For anybody that's not following you, which one, that's a big mistake on their end, but where can they find the stuff you're putting out?
I appreciate you having me on. Of course, it's always good chatting and stuff. Ryan Hammer, either 9 or 09 on every social media. I hope if you search my name, you can find me. If you're not, then if you can't find me, then you can't find me.
The YouTube channel, always good. And, the last one, man, finding you on the Pat McAfee show. That was pretty cool. What was that like to wake up to? I'm sure you had some tweets and texts and all kinds of stuff.
I was in a work meeting talking about undisclosed things about work, obviously. And I just saw my computer. I had Twitter like as one of the tabs on my web browser. And I just saw the notification thing start to dial up. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And my phone started like getting a lot of text messages. And I thought I did something wrong. Like I said something in one of my posts that like got taken the wrong way, which I don't know how, because I just talk about like basketball and right things. But I got nervous for a second, and then it caught me off guard. It was cool though. It was like a little bump in engagement and stuff and whatnot. But it was cool. Nice little juice of credibility. So
that's awesome. A good friend of mine who's probably listening to this, Sam Lieber, will literally just send me videos of yours. Like, hey, this Ryan guy, he's making some really good points here. I'm like, dude, I follow him already. I'm good. Thank you so much.
We know each other. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting a lot of traction out there, man. So I love it. Love seeing that. Fear the turtle, everybody. Thanks, Ryan. We'll put all social handles in the episode description here too. So if you're listening to this, not following Ryan, make sure to do it. And we'll see how it goes. Maybe last thing though, how are you feeling about our Terps offseason?
I'm excited. Okay. I did it last year, but I'm very actually excited this year. I think we're going to be good. I like the youth we have in the team more than ever. So I think it's going to kind of inject a little fire into us a little bit. So.
In Jacoby Gillespie here, we trust. So hopefully he can make the move up from Belmont.
The next great Maryland guard.
I love it. Awesome. All right, everybody. This has been Believe in Wizards. Please rate, review, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, click that like button for us. We're presented by betonline.ag, and we will catch y'all next time. Get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch, feeling fine, so fresh. The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad. The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.